This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017, episode 120. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. If you're interested in news and politics, check out Against the Norm at ATNShow.com. Joining me, he's back. Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Even though you never left.
Hey, I've been here the whole time, probably. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, you're more welcome to go check out my blog, biteoftech.com. Of course, go check out our website. We have infectionpodcast.com. Nice place to find our Discord channel, our Steam group. Pretty much everything that you need to be able to contact us is right there on the right-hand side. So if you haven't bothered, make sure you go and follow our Twitter. And maybe you're listening because we have a lot of people. Most of our audience is all podcast form. So that means they're listening in their cars. Maybe they're listening at work, on the road. So this is a good chance. If you happen to be at your computer on a day that we do our live broadcast, which is usually Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can go to follow our Steam group, and it will give you a nice notification on your desktop. So it just sends a little notification saying, hey, we're doing a live show. Would you like to come and watch? And nope, if you're not there, and you're not at your computer, the notification will go away and you don't have to worry about it. But it's nice in case you happen to be around, you can come and get one of the live ones.
Yes. Where did you already promote all your social media? I don't think you did.
I did. I zipped past it though. Sorry. Good stuff.
I was so impressed with this. I was just remembering back to the good old days of PAX East. I was just so taken aback. What's going on, Brian? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just, I finally finished my statistics course, which took me way longer than it should have because I just got tired of doing it.
You just didn't give a care.
I stopped for a little while, and then I got back to it and I finished it. So
there you go.
I am glad that's done.
Yeah. And it's actually, this is stuff in terms of player counts and active players in games are going to start kicking up. Over the next couple weeks here, semesters are starting to wrap up. Graduation is next Saturday, so two Saturdays from now. And I think my school's on track with a lot of others for graduation. So over the next month, we're going to see player counts in maybe some of the smaller games that we talk about. Miscreated, Seven Days, I guess you could throw in there. I think we'll see those numbers start to go up a little bit as... I think you've got a month and a half off or something like 2 months off semester wise. So actually my last semester of college. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. This is always a good time of the year. I remember this specifically last year. The player counts definitely went up, you know, with people being off.
See, mine never stops. It just constantly keeps going. So
it's fun. So, let's open up with this. Brian mentioned our website, infectionpodcast.com. And on that website, we do have the ability to support us if you feel so inclined to do so. We got asked every once in a while, hey, how can we support the show? How can we support the show? We've got a couple different options to do that on the website. It's actually not a couple, it's two. We've got our Amazon affiliate links, and you can see all the countries listed here, United States, the UK, France, Canada, so on and so forth. Find your Amazon link, whatever you buy.
If you're going to be doing a big purchase, maybe like a computer or something, really helps because it doesn't cost you anymore, but it gives us a small percentage of that purchase. So it's a cool way to do it.
Exactly. So you can do that and it'll throw us a couple pennies here and there. Or if you're interested in giving us a direct donation through PayPal, this is linked through Steam Alerts. Streamlabs, so that'll go in
Twitch Labs,
whatever they call it now. You can do all that, infectionpodcast.com/support, and that'll go into our, I guess we're calling our game fund for right now, where we're just going to be purchasing games and equipment and so on and so forth. So, and of course we do, if you watch the pre-show, we said we have a big interview coming up here in the next couple of weeks. We'll hopefully be able to announce to you next week. It's one that we've been looking forward to for quite some time. So we'll hope to have that for you next week. Brian, I do have another announcement as well. This one. We are going to be doing a monthly board game night. If you're into board games, you would know last week was International Tabletop. Last Saturday was International Tabletop Day. And for the occasion, Tabletop Simulator on Steam was on sale. It was $10, and a couple of different members in our group picked it up. So we're going to be doing a monthly board game night afternoon. It's going to be the second Saturday of every month. So this month, May, it's going to be May 13th. And Brian, you're going to be the GM. What are we playing?
Oh, that's a good question. What are we playing? we are playing Cosmic Encounters.
Jesus.
Remember the name really quick.
I didn't mean to put you on. I mean, I thought all that anticipation.
No, I was like, oh yeah, I hope I don't say the wrong name. We're going to be playing Cosmic Encounters, which is a game that is, it's one of the games that kind of got me more into board gaming, really enjoying it. And so I own the board game and I own the expansion. But for this, this one is a licensed DLC for this game. So what I did is purchase the license for my account. And this allows anyone who connects and plays that game with us to be able to play it without having to pay for that license fee. So this is a really good way to be able to play the game. Only one person had to pay for the license of it. And so I've done that. And so we can have 8 people total play the game at once. This is a game that is a lot of fun. It's not that hard to play once you understand the basic rules. So yeah, so we'll go through, I'll run it. And it should be a good time. Hopefully I know 26 people that I follow or friends with on Steam have Tabletop Simulator.
Yes. And this is going to be a little bit different than our typical Friday night game night, which we're still going to do like we do every week. Yeah. If you want to join this event, I'm going to ask that you either reach out to Brian or myself so we can plan properly. We don't want to it's a limited amount of players. We can have 8 players, and I think we already have 4. Or three or four. So reach out to us, either Brian or myself, and let us know that you're interested. It's going to be sometime.
Even if we have more, we can have some other people host
different games.
There's a lot of games that are free.
For Cosmic Encounters, reach out to Brian or myself, and we'll get you the time. It's going to be sometime in either the late afternoon, early evening on Saturday the 13th. So we look forward to that. If you're interested and you have Tabletop Simulator, or if you don't, you can pick it up. It's probably not still on sale, but add it to your wish list like all of us did, and we were all able to pick it up for a pretty good price. So if you're interested,
for $10,
yeah, get in touch with us.
I don't know if it's going to go to that price until next year again.
Probably not.
It's kind of a special.
Yeah, every year
special sale that they usually don't
do. So you may get it Steam or summer, the winter summer sale. Who knows?
But, yeah, I don't. Maybe they will.
So there you go. All that stuff's out. So I think that's enough in-house PR nonsense. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I do have another. Well, this isn't nonsense as much, but it is PR. Of course, our good friend, Green Man Cartoons, has a new cartoon up. And this one's extra special, Brian. This one is extra special. I'm not going to play the whole thing because I do want you to go, click on his video here. There'll be a link in the show notes, infectionpodcast.com, or you can go just search Green Man Cartoons on YouTube, and it's the ARK Tech Tier video. And there's a couple of interesting cameos in this one, Brian.
Yes.
Ah, damn it. Cheap tools. That looks like it's a job for my fists of steel.
Oh, you poor fat-handed twat. Still using tools to chop down trees. Like a caveman. No need to thank me.
Well, at least I'm not encumbered anymore. What the hell, though? You've been doing bosses without me? Every time I mention going further inland, you refuse.
Because this is where our ancestors are from.
Well, hurry up and make me some armor.
No can do, Buckaroo. You need to unlock those plans to wear it. I guess, if you want, I could put a good word in with, you know, the tribe that I helped out. But if you want.
Okay, everyone, get ready. The portal's almost finished.
Tech Tier!
Oh, what the fuck is this now? All right. So that's just a little bit of the video. I apologize for anybody listening.
And Nick's dirty mouth.
Brian, I'm an actor, okay? I get a script, I read it. I don't need this from you. If you want to check out the rest of the video, it's just about 4 minutes for people listening in the car. That made absolutely no sense. But go check it out. There'll be a link in the show notes, infectionpodcast.com, or just search Green Man Cartoons on YouTube, and you will find that. So, that was a cool little thing. I mean, we made it big. I mean, we talk about, like, we're a pretty big deal. This is the next level of big dealness. So thanks.
Next, we'll get paid maybe for some things.
Thanks.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. So thank you, Green Man, for giving us the opportunity for that. It was a lot of fun. Okay, Brian, let's jump into some news. And H1Z1 King of the Kill. This week that you and I played this? It was later last week.
We played it since last week.
Yes.
I mean, since the last show.
We played four games.
Was it total four?
I believe it was four. And the first three, we died right away in the exact same spot.
We kept getting spawned the exact same place.
We went to those. It's the cabins where you just kind of spawn over the middle of nowhere. And there's the only place to go is cabins. We had that spawn three times in a row, and we were killed right off the bat three times in a row. And then our fourth one, we landed at the same spot again, but nobody else landed with us. So we got in a car. We just sat in the middle of a field until there was like 10 people left, and then I don't remember how we died.
I don't remember. Some guy shot me through a tree, remember?
Yes, you did get shot. Yes, you got shot through. Oh, yes, you were actually the last one alive. This was a...
It was one versus one.
A 2v1.
Well, but I killed the first guy.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was a group of two. No, because I killed one, and there was still one guy left. He was behind the tree. Like, I was standing directly behind the tree. I knew exactly where he was, and he just shot me right through the tree. I was so mad.
Yes.
That's that game for me, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. There wasn't any anymore. There wasn't a lot of action. But again, we weren't really playing playing aggressive or not, we died off the spawn three times. That was kind of the only place to go. So I guess if you want
action, the thing there was multiple groups. There was like eight people landing in that one spot.
Yeah. And it was whoever got a gun first killed everybody else, pretty much. So with that being aside, I mean, there's nothing to say. It's just, it was a combination of crappy spawns. And I mean, you did make it to the second place. So,
yeah,
but we didn't shoot anybody
like that I killed one guy,
but you killed his friend
at the very end.
Yeah. But I'm saying we didn't have to, and that was my thing, is we didn't have to kill anybody to get to that spot. We literally just, we sat in the middle of the zone waiting.
You get rewarded for avoiding people.
Yeah, we were, and that's the thing, is we weren't like, you know, we weren't like Echo Fox on the CW, you know, hopping the
gas. We were just
kind of
sitting around waiting for anybody to come by.
I was waiting for shots.
Let's keep away from everybody.
Yeah, I was waiting for somebody to shoot so we could drive towards them. The zone was in kind of a weird spot, and it didn't. So Brian was dealing with audio problems. He like fully rerouted his audio while we were just sitting there waiting.
While we were waiting.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty lame, and then you just got killed standing behind a tree. So, it is what it is. But nevertheless, we do have.
Well, that's
some...
the funny thing is now they show you the outline of the person after they shoot you. He was directly in the middle of the tree ahead of me, like he killed me behind things, and that just drives me crazy about that.
Yeah, and of course, you know, how much of that we don't know how much of that is.
It could be lag.
It could very well be lag. I mean, we've all seen the GIF on Reddit before where they show how the hitboxes work. The player standing up, then they crouch, then, you know, like, you know, 200 milliseconds later, the box, you know, with really bad lag compensation, the box moves down, and how hitboxes and character models are not the same thing.
But the thing is I sat there for like 2 seconds before it happened in the middle of the tree. That's what drives me crazy, is that it should by that time have caught up.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't like bouncing back and forth, you know, kind of hugging the edge of the tree, trying to look at him. I stood there in the middle for 2 seconds waiting, and then it still happened. So there's definite problems.
Yeah. Frustrating, but nevertheless, we'll cover it later on in the game. A lot of people still playing it. does it matter if they're from the U.S. or not? I guess not really, because at the end of the day, it's player count that matters, and it's still in the top 10 of all, you know, all games being played on Steam. So we'll cover that stuff a little bit later on. But we do have a new producer's letter for H1Z1 King of the Kill. Now, this is promoting the next game update that actually is including a lot of different things. The first thing off is hit registration. And this is the big thing with this game. I think they've got most of the team aspect and that stuff worked out. It's just sometimes it's this garbage hit registration. Good and bad. There's good and bad things. This, you know, people will say, you know, with the AK, you can just kind of shoot into a group of people and you'll get hits. How much of that is good hit registration? How much of that is bad hit registration when you're shooting from so far away? Well, there's not really any way to know with that, but what they're saying is that they have greatly optimized and greatly reworked their lag compensation, which is the way that all networked video games work, is using a service, some type of lag compensation. So with that, hopefully, the hit registration is better. It's yet to be known. It's an unknown. Now, going on past records with H1Z1, there's a possibility that this gets implemented and it's a complete disaster. Now, on the other hand, it could be implemented. It could work perfectly fine. But they say that they have greatly optimized
it. It seems like they did this for, remember, because there was that video that went into depth explaining this whole concept.
Yes, we
this is what they're talking about.
I don't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. He makes all of the netcode videos. We showed it on the show, or we talked about it, we promoted it. I just don't remember his name. But yes, exactly.
This is what they're referring to, yes. Is that exact video. And they're saying, oh, you may have watched that, but we've changed it now. So that's kind of what they're trying to say is, hey, it's not like as bad as it used to be. We've updated. So it'd be interesting to have him do another test of the updated, supposedly better net code that they have now.
And it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see. And they said that they're tracking the way they're changing the way in which they track projectiles. So hopefully this was a big thing. It's the first thing on the producer's letter. They seem very adamant that this is a big thing. So, well, you know, it's yet to be seen, but hopefully this is a big change for hit registration, because that is one of the game breaking things I think left in H1Z1 is just the hit registration.
And that's that exact thing of probably what I experienced. I mean, it could have been this code. And if this is for an upcoming patch, so this, when we play, wouldn't have been in place.
No, absolutely not. No, this is for an upcoming patch that is not implemented yet.
So I would hope that would be something that would have been corrected by this code of, it should know exactly where I am, not have those desyncs of, oh, he's to the left of the tree or he's to the right of the tree. Oh, I realize he's in the center of the tree. You can't shoot him.
Now, let's be clear with this, because I don't want to just sit here and bash H1Z1 because, you know, oh, it's a crappy game or whatever people want to say on Reddit. Netcode and hit registration and lag compensation are arguably the hardest part in a multiplayer video game environment. I think, Brian, I think you'd probably agree with me on that, Brian. So
we're trying to balance it.
Yes, it's a very huge thing. It's so unbelievably complex. It's not just, you know, hit registration, you know, fix, you know, on. Yeah. You know, this is a very
complex thing. It's not an automated process
thing.
Either. They have to figure out a fine balance of figuring out if a person has, let's say, 150 milliseconds ping versus a person that maybe has a 50 millisecond ping. How do we?
That's a huge difference.
Two players, so that it's fair, so that one doesn't have an advantage over the other, but you know, while still allowing those people that maybe have the 150 plus millisecond pings to play.
Well, you look at a game. I mean, you look at a game like Call of Duty. They have, I would have imagined, over the past couple of years, have dumped millions and millions of dollars into. I think they've got some of the best hit registration, lag compensation on the marketplace. But they're Activision,
strict, though, too.
They are very strict.
The thing is, they're very strict of if you have a low, too high of a ping, you can't play.
Yes. Well, and also it's different. It's not dedicated servers. But nevertheless, you know, this is a very extensive process. You could have many, many engineers that are just dealing. All they do is deal with hit registration, lag compensation, so on and so forth. So while I'm saying hopefully this is implemented properly, I'm not saying that to bash H1Z1. I'm saying that because this is a huge, huge thing to get implemented, and it's not just a guaranteed, oh, this is going to work. Now, the next thing should be, hopefully, once this is implemented, works perfectly, because it, from the write up here, it makes perfect sense. I'm going to read this almost verbatim because it is interesting. We've talked about the shotgun for a while, and it's unbelievably how inconsistent it's been over the past 2 years. Yeah. So the way that the shotgun used to work is that it would have your shotgun when you shot it would have 8 pellets that would come out of the shell. Now, random, that would be in a random pattern. So the computer, the program H1Z1 would just randomly make up a pattern of 8 pellets to hit a player. And what they realized is that, and people would always say is, you know, I shoot once and, you know, I shoot somebody one at a certain location. Sometimes it kills them. Sometimes it doesn't. Why is that? And they said here, sometimes because it was a random pattern, 3 of your 8 pellets would hit your target. And then you could fire again at the exact same spot with a different person and 5 may or 6 may. And it was all because of that random pattern, which is great because that's realistically, that's how a shotgun works. It is randomized, but in an esport video game, when you run up to somebody and shoot them with the shotgun, it needs to be, you can't just have 2 pellets.
There will be more than
8
pellets though. There'll be more than 8 pellets in a shotgun shell.
No, I get that.
Now they're getting closer to realistic shotgun
shells. Well, they are and they aren't. So what they're doing is they're now, now instead of 8, there's going to be 17 pellets, but it's going to be a systematic pattern. So it's not going to be it's not going to be completely random anymore. It's going to be more of a systematic pattern, which is exactly what I think people have been asking for. You know, we always are but hold on. We're always at this line between realism and practicality because this is a video game, folks, not real life. And I think what they've done with the shotgun is the perfect excuse to break away from realism and go into, okay, this needs to work for a video game. Because if I shoot somebody in the exact same spot twice with the shotgun, the same result needs to happen. I get it wouldn't happen in real life, but this is an esport. This is a game that people are...
So what if you treated it... I'm going to throw at you an idea of dealing with a shotgun rather than dealing with pellets. What if you took the area that the shotgun hits, right? It's a circle.
Yeah.
And you take the amount of percentage of the player that's in that circle goes up to 100% damage of the, you know, whatever the shotgun damage is. Let's say that you only have half of the shotgun circle on them. That would be half damage.
How does that work from distance though?
You can make it to where if they're farther away, there is then a percentage that it's reduced, because same thing with the shotgun, the farther and farther you away, the less that it's actually going to do damage. So if they're 100 meters away, pretty much does 0 damage. As they get closer and closer, that percentage, all you do is put 2 math calculations into it, and you'd be able to tell.
I know, but come on, Brian, it's more complicated than 2 math calculations. I mean, let's be
realistic.
I'm
just saying that would make it more consistent.
Well, but I think this is going to make it consistent too.
It should be a better spread.
It should be a better spread. And Batchain Polar, I guess, knows more about shotguns than we do. So Buckshot is 8 pellets. And according to him, real life Buckshot
that are like little marbles.
Yes.
I mean, they're
big,
much bigger than the bird shot that you would be thinking of. That are little itsy bitsy pellets.
And according to him, real life Buckshot doesn't spread at all. It's a pretty tight pattern with that. But
they've kind of got away from it because their pattern it seems pretty big.
Well, their pattern is random. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, when you're asking the computer to pick a random number to decide where to put 8 pellets, I mean, you roll a die. You'll see what randomization does. You eventually roll the same thing over and over again. It's going to happen. And this, I think, what was happening with the shotgun. And it seems like this is exactly what we've needed for the shotgun, is a less realistic approach to it, but a more game-friendly approach to it, which is consistency.
That's the thing, is when you try to keep it so realistic as they've seen, and you're dealing with realistic pellets and patterns, it
doesn't work.
I mean, it could be that the shotgun would shoot pellets to one side and not another. I mean, if it for some reason, but that's not what people want when they're doing a competitive game.
No, exactly. You need consistency. You need to know if I shoot somebody in this spot, it's going to kill them if I'm this close to them. Not, oh, great, I shoot him, and then somehow he turns around and hits me once with the shotgun and I'm dead, which isn't the most rare thing to happen in H1Z1, depending on how this randomization works. So I like that they're up front. What was it doing? This is what it is going to be doing.
They usually don't give us this amount of details when they talk about things.
And this is a big change.
It had this many pellets and it was doing this exact thing. Here's what we're doing to compensate it. They almost never... they almost never are just giving you actual details. They'll just say, oh, the shotgun's fixed.
Yeah.
And what we usually hear.
And I agree. I shouldn't say I agree. I appreciate the fact that they're doing this. This is the stuff I care about. This is why the next time when I shoot the shotgun and I get a kill right away, I'm going to say, ah, it's because of that. It's because of they did that. It's not, oh, shotgun improved. So props to them for
it. It's the only gun that acts like that in this game. So, yeah. You know, they have to treat it differently than the rest. The rest of them are all single bullets. And you know, as long as there may be drop or something, but as long as it's hitting that one spot,
yeah,
that's fine. This one is a very much different way of shooting it.
Yep.
Especially, they have to figure it out. Like, I'm wondering how this will affect. This will be interesting to play with and just see how it affects how the shotgun feels when you're going one-on-one with somebody.
Yeah, and this will be something interesting. So once this gets implemented, of course, Brian and I think we'll both jump in there and pretty much play games only with shotguns and see what happens, see what the result is. They're bringing the skirmish game mode back. If you're interested in that, we've got a whole bunch of stuff I'd like to get through. So they're bringing that back, which is one of their rule set game modes that you can jump in. Now, this is pretty interesting, Brian. We've seen this in the past. They recently did a lighting overhaul, and this is another one. This is interior lighting, and you can see there is quite a big difference between this. The one on the left,
it's a warmer light, less of a blue light.
Well, and this is exactly what I was going to say. The left is when it's raining outside. The right is when it's a bright sunny day. And unfortunately, in H1Z1, it always looked like it was raining outside. It's that dark, gloomy, gray and blue color that everything was in the world. The new color's got it's a higher it's just a brighter light. It's a more orange
more
light.
Light.
Yeah, it's a warm light. It's orange. So that's hopefully going. I mean, you can totally see the difference between the shadows in between those. Hopefully, objects stand out a little bit more because you could always run into situations where objects were just crazy dark in some situations. So that's really good. That's really important. They've also added three new points of interest throughout the map. This is one of them. This is a some type of shipping yard. Looks like it could be on like a port or something, but some type of shipping yard here with a large crane and a whole bunch of crates. So we've got that. Now, they say with these were specifically designed for gunfights. And I like that because while as I've played and as Brian has played more and more Battlegrounds, we've had the gunfights that we've always wanted to have in H1Z1. The ducking between shipping crates. I'm trying to think of the town name in Battlegrounds. It's in the southwest corner of the map that's got an area that's very similar to this. And I've had many gunfights in this same area, and it's a colossal pain because you lose people running through crates, as you should. These are huge shipping containers. So you can lose somebody in a shipping container, which doesn't happen in H1Z1. You very rarely see somebody start shooting at them and then they disappear. That very rarely happens. And I think that's what they're trying to work towards. So you can see some of the placement, how it's set up for people to have gunfights across that. That's the first one. Second one is some little neighborhood thing. And again,
it's a house, but in a kind of neighborhood. And I wonder, there's like a shipping crate in the
it's, part of it. Yeah, it's some type of moving crate or something like that, some type of dumpster. Yeah. There's a fence, if you notice, by the side garage door, which is something new, which again could spark that gunfight. Because right now, typically when you open those doors, you're just out in the open. You really don't have any cover. So they're setting up for some different gunfights of that. And plus, there's kind of a brick or a stone wall across the front of the house, which ideally you could duck down and have a gunfight with somebody. Let's see. Ideally you could have a gunfight with somebody, down here if you're up here. Being able to duck down between those bricks and kind of using the elevation to help you out with that. So that's pretty cool. And then the last one here, this is just kind of another, I call it a strip mall, plaza, whatever, these cars, which, I get this is what they have for the cars, but I don't think I've ever successfully used one of these in a gunfight. I don't think I've ever even jumped to one because they're pretty ineffective. They're just not good structures to be standing behind. And again, how much of that was hit registration and how much of that is the cars not being the best objects? Who knows? Maybe this optimization in the hit registration will make, you know, this SUV here in the corner a good object to stand behind if somebody's shooting at you, because right now it's not. You're probably going to die if you're standing behind it. So those are a couple of the new points of interest that they're working on to populate the areas around the map. And I guess those are going to be around Pleasant Valley. And of course, those are built with gunplay in mind, which is always very important here. Now, the next thing is they want you to move through houses quicker when you start looting right off the mat. Right off the bat. So what they're doing is they're going to add a small outline to objects that can be looted. And this will make it easier if you're running through to, you know, at a glance, quickly see something, which is a common thing. I think Battlegrounds has got a little glow around its objects, doesn't it?
Playing with it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's not. I don't mind it at all. I like it, especially house interiors in all of these games seem to be a huge problem. Battlegrounds included. Some of those houses, you walk into rooms and it's almost completely pitch black.
You can see with that example that they gave, if you look on the left for the old and the new, where for under the arena,
yeah,
the one on the right, you'll see the shirt that has the outline. If you look on the bullets to the left, there's no outline.
Yeah, so exactly.
Kind of showing that off there.
And specifically the gun in that example, without the bullets next to that gun almost blends in with the floor. It's almost not, you can hardly see it. This is a good move. And I know some people say this is more of a casual thing that they're implementing, but you know, when it comes down to it, I don't want to be squinting.
It's turned into a pretty casual. I mean, I guess in that way of thinking, it's turned into a pretty casual game.
Yeah, but I mean this is always the big thing: is that's easy. That's for kids.
It's supposed to be fast paced.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I don't want to spend time trying to figure out, is that something laying on the ground in that corner or not. Just show me. I mean, I just want to get my stuff and get out. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I guess the only unfortunate thing is looting an H1Z1 for most people besides Brian is already pretty quick. But
take my time.
I mean, I don't spend a whole lot of time looting. You get an AR, you find an AR or an AK, you find second ammo, you get a helmet and a backpack. That's pretty much it. I mean, I don't search for much more med packs, but I don't spend a whole lot of time looting anyway.
Med kits seem to be the big thing that people spend most time looking for.
Yeah.
You can get 300-400 rounds pretty quick and then your inventory is full.
Yeah, and 300-400 rounds, I mean, you could honestly, I don't bother getting more than 100. I'll be dead before I can shoot off 100 bullets. I'm just a crappy player. But nevertheless, they're also making some new improvements to the UI. This is going to improve access and understanding. It helps people out a little bit. It's got some more text prompts behind it. So you can see.
I believe they're kind of simplifying. And I wonder if this is maybe aiming towards consoles and things like that.
For sure. I mean, this, for example, here's the makeshift armor. It shows that it needs one duct tape, the scrap, and then the what you get from shredding the backpacks, whatever that's called.
I'm sure, because if you go there, that's pretty much a quick.
Yeah, this is quick crafting. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's pretty much what that is.
And
right?
It's a quick bar, and it also says below. It says shred items or search for more scrap materials to create this item. So it gives you the description. It's 5 protection, 5 durability.
So if you were using a controller, you could quickly just go to the right, say, all right, I need to really quickly craft a body.
Exactly.
Or I need to quickly craft. So they're pretty much only including the things that you're going to realistically craft in that type of a game, because there's a lot of things that were left over originally from Just Survive.
Yeah, you can make campfires and stuff.
Yeah, you never use when you're doing King of the Kill. So it looks like they've cleaned that up and just put a short list of things that you could do that from a controller you could click, all right, bring up the inventory, go to the right, quickly craft this.
And eventually it becomes muscle memory, you know?
And that's what it hasn't had up until now.
Yeah, and this is good. Let's be clear.
A lot of mouse dragging.
And I've been extremely critical of ARK about how, in the past, I've been extremely critical of how garbage their UI has been. I mean, it's just awful trying to manage the UI. It's like doing a puzzle every time you need to do something. So if it takes consoles for H1Z1 to streamline their UI, that's fine with me, because while it's great for people on the PlayStation, it makes it a whole hell of a lot easier for me to deal with things now that I can just quickly get to this crafting menu. So I like this. This is a great improvement. We've got some comments in chat being made. how much of this is competition from Battlegrounds coming in and just kind of swooping the market up. And, you know, H1C1's still got a lot of players playing it, but go look at Twitch and go look at the activity on Twitter. It's nothing like it was before. So,
yeah, I mean, it's gone at least in half.
You know, this is the best part of capitalism is this competition. Yep. There's no longer one horse in the race.
Well, if you look at a lot of these fixes, a lot of these you could say are addressing features that are in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. Let's be clear with this, Brian. This is not a bad thing. Yes, it's competition. This is what we've been waiting. I've been waiting for somebody to come into this market, kick some ass, take some names, and hopefully Daybreak would realize, hey, we got to change what we're doing.
We can't just say we're going to do this.
Yeah, eventually. Exactly.
We actually have to get it out. And that's what they've been doing. All of a sudden, spectator cam, the outlines, the better people. One thing that Battlegrounds does, and we've talked about the last couple of weeks, is letting people make their screens more vibrant and bright and, you know, kind of customize the look of it. Now, all of a sudden, they're trying to kind of match what that look is. They're not getting away with as much, which is good. I mean, they seem like they're taking it more seriously, and I hope that this continues, because I think they've got a kind of a long road ahead of them to still continue to battle against competitors. I mean, Battlegrounds might not be the last competitor that they have. There might be other ones coming in the market that they're going to continue to have to push against.
For sure. And I mean, competition is the best thing for specifically for video games. Competition is the best, because the good stuff will float and the garbage will sink. With that, you talked about customization, Brian. Here's some more of it. Vehicle skins now are in the game. We've got a couple of different colors. We've got the base color, a yellow, an orange or a red, a blue or a purple, and then, you know, some type of variance in that. And the three different vehicles that can be skinned with these colors are the truck, the Jeep, and the ATV. Specifically, I like the ATV colors on this. They look realistic. I mean, you see ATVs in all different types of colors. The Jeep looks all right. I'm not a big fan of the purple, the, you know, turquoise blue truck, whatever that is. But these colors aren't. This is good. This is customization. So what you'll be able to do with this,
not seem so much the same.
Yeah, and what you'll be able to do this is in your settings. You'll be able to select what color you want these vehicles to be, and similar to the way it is now, when you jump in that vehicle, it'll change colors. As well as vehicles will spawn with different color sets. So you can set all of that stuff up. And then just a couple of other things to note, that they're working on, is that the parachute should no longer spin when starting a match. Armor should now show on top of the parkas, and then incoming hit sounds should be audible now. This is on the test server, as always. And again, we're hypocrites. I can fully say it. I'm a hypocrite. Jump on the test server, play this. Maybe we should do that at some point this week. Well, maybe not this week, but soon. Jump in on this on the test server. End of the semester. No time for video games. But, hop into the test server, play this, and try it out. Because, again, game-breaking issues don't get seen if nobody is playing the game on the test server, which has always been a problem. Again, folks at H1Z1, at Daybreak, please just give us an incentive. Give us some stupid crate. That'll be it. Or get some skin, something to incentivize people to hop on these test servers, because it's really necessary. So that is the producer's letter that came out on April 28th. If you want to see all the pictures and stuff we talked about, you can head on over to the website infectionpodcast.com. Busy week for King of the Kill, Brian. We also had a Reddit Q&A today. Some interesting things in here as well. The one I kind of want to focus on is the one that, and what they do is they do the Reddit, they do the AMA on Reddit, and then they copy the most important answers and questions off to their site. And the first question is about hackers and what are they doing to deal with hackers and so on and so forth. So the response is, we're currently finding known hacks and adding those to our bans list. Thousands of accounts are being banned each day. The current build of the test update, which we just talked about, has an updated version of the anti-cheat software in it. So I would imagine this is an updated BattleEye, unless they're still running some type of mix of that and proprietary. And this was interesting, Brian. I don't know if you caught this. They have dedicated people that are purchasing hacks from the market on sites like QQ, on, you know, hack forms and pretty much looking at them and saying, all right, if you see any of these things, and it's, you know, they're able to add that stuff to their anti-cheat. I don't know how long they've been doing that, but that's probably the most effective measure to deal with these hackers, is to just spend however many, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars a year it is to just buy these hacks from China or Russia, wherever they're being sold, and just implement them into the game. And then they also say they're auditing all of their anti-cheat systems, and they're looking to hire an anti-cheat programmer, which is probably the brunt of the problems. They don't have somebody that's actually dedicated and has, you know, 10, 20, you know, 25 years experience in, well, 25 maybe.
Well,
much,
and but, like with, yeah, with like with Brad, I think he's kind of overseeing it as far as Brad Wilcox. I don't know that he's actually sitting there programming the code. I think he's just, seems like he's handling bands and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have somebody who's not handling all the bands, that's just dealing with the anti-cheat purely, because you can get distracted all day dealing with bands.
Exactly. So I think a paid full-time anti-cheat expert that has experience in this similar type of game would be a great help to Daybreak. I mean, we see this all across the video game industry and the tech industry. You have to, if you want good results, you have to hire people that have an expertise in said department or said task. You know, you can't hire a developer that develops your website and develops your Android app and develops your iOS app and develops your desktop app. Your apps are going to suck because you have one person.
Well, I think that's what they've kind of been dealing with, is having people cover too many things that maybe that's not their specialty.
Yeah. And
like, they got to bring on people that is their specialty.
And again, I have no inside knowledge. We've never had any inside knowledge. It does not appear money is a problem for Daybreak. If looking at the amount of skins and crates that are being bought all the time, they have a lot of cash to be spending. So, you know, if it takes, you know, X amount of tens of thousands of dollars a year to get somebody to deal with anti-cheat, I think it's probably worth the investment, because right now hackers are running rampant in this game. Yeah. It's bad. Going through this, a couple of other things asked, nothing that was really crazy that jumped out to me. Just kind of more of a general Q&A. Was there anything that
people
wanted to cover?
Yeah, people asking about specific guns. No, yeah. Not really. People asking about specific guns. Hey, when's the recoil on this going to be this way? Or it's a lot of those type of questions. So we'll have a full list of them. We'll have a link on the website in the show notes that goes through each and every one of these questions, so that you can go and read through, and maybe you'll find, you know, something that's referring to a problem that you've run into or something that's been bugging you. So we'll have a full list. I mean, it is a pretty long list, so they did take some time and go through all that. So it's definitely worth a read through.
Yes. And I believe that is it for King of the Kill. Do you have anything else you want to note on that?
No, nope. Let's move on to Just Survive.
Yeah,
this one seems like it had some good news this week. I always love it when they actually put out something hinting at what's going to be coming up.
All right, so I'll let you take control of this. I'll show some pictures. What's going on here, Brian?
All right, so they put out some new kind of teaser art, some concepts that they're looking at having. This first one, if you look at it, it's got like a meat packing plant, some sort of a meat processing plant. Now, this is all concept art. So if you look at this art, you will notice that there's a lot of things that are hand-drawn. This
cobwebs.
Is stuff that's just saying, here's... Yeah, and even if you look at the meat and the machines, like, those aren't 3D assets. These are things that maybe they had something that's really rough that doesn't have the texture and the detail on it, and they're going in and kind of Photoshopping things in there. So... of course, it won't look exactly like this, but this is most likely what they will hand to the 3D modelers and say, here is what we're aiming for. And they'll start building assets that match something like this. I think they're trying to give you the feel that they're hoping to put across in the game, and come up with something that's very different than King of the Kill.
Yeah,
because there's nothing that feels like this in King of the Kill. And you would think that Just Survive should feel more like this. This next one, they're actually showing a concept of the dam. So when you look at the dam right now, it's a very just plain building. You know, it does have a big amount. It's a big building. it's a big structure and it has detail in the buildings itself, but it doesn't have a lot of those new nuances of like they're showing here, grass, deterioration to the buildings, even vehicles that are turned over. They're showing, hey, there's been time that's passed. I think that's what they're really trying to put across, is like with grass growing even on the truck that's turned over on its side, that some time has passed, because you don't really get a sense of how much time has passed in the world of H1Z1. And so with this, they're showing deterioration, trying to show that there's just character and things that have happened in this world. So this is what they're considering the dam. So kind of just concept. And that truck, I don't know. I mean, it looks pretty good. I think they could get something pretty close to that in the game. This next one is just showing you the age that they're looking at putting with cabins, because that's one thing that you'll notice it, with cabins. They don't really like for instance, the boards on all of the wood walkways, they're all pretty much perfect. So here they're showing that there's deterioration with the boards. There's things growing through the boards. The buildings themselves are falling apart. Once again, it sounds like they're trying to put across just a sense of things are becoming dilapidated, that there's age to everything. And one interesting thing, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but there's a light inside the cabin.
Yeah.
Which is more of a just survive thing. You don't run into that sort of thing in King of the Kill, because there's no nighttime in King of the Kill. So there's no need for lights and things like that. So, you know, that's something they're trying to put across. This next one is kind of out near the cabins that are overlooking the lake in the, I'm trying to remember if this is Southwest. Or southeast, I don't remember where it is exactly on the map, but there's a large area that you land at that has cabins on the edge of a lake, and this is just showing zombies out in the field, crows, you know, eating eyeballs out of it, and people that have hung themselves, you know, because of probably just being upset that the world has pretty much come to an end. One interesting thing is there's lights that are lit, you know, Christmas lights, type of a thing. Along that's kind of an interesting thing that would be nice to see how they do that in game. That's kind of those mood setters.
Yeah, those are dock lights. They're not really Christmas lights. They're
okay, dock lights. We don't have docks here.
Yeah, so. no docks in Idaho.
No, I mean, maybe on a lake somewhere there would be, but not here. And then this last one looks like it's more of a, you know, just kind of setting a scene of what they want the evenings, you know, as the sun's getting ready to set over the horizon. It's kind of feel there's a deer in here. They're showing the crows again, just kind of showing the wildlife. Someone once again has hung themselves. Just some of those details that you don't really see, but this is out near one of the farms that they have out there. So this is just some of the concept art, what they're probably handing their asset guys, there's map making guys, just saying, hey, here's kind of the feel, the lighting, what we want to have this seem like. So that's pretty much the concept art that they did. I don't know that there was any others in there.
So I've got a couple of, you have to be able to understand concept art and in-game modeled, rendered is different. Yes. They're not the same. My fear and my problem is that this concept art, in my opinion, is going to look nothing like we see in game.
Based on past experience.
And here's kind of an example. I couldn't tell if this isn't as much concept art as it was promotional imaging for H1Z1. So this is what they show, you know, in kind of PR. Oh, look at these two zombies walking towards this Jeep with the lights on. And then, you know, in reality, this is what the game looks like. It's just like, stuff on fire, yeah. Dead bodies laying everywhere. Like it's just like the there's no texture on those cars that are there. The window, there's not even windows on the cars. Nevertheless, broken windows, just like no windows. None of those cars, not the truck, the sedan, none of them have windows. They're just completely gone.
The van does.
Oh, excuse me. Yes,
you can't see through them from what I can
No,
tell.
Exactly. They're not windows. They're just part of the model. Like there's just again, I'm not trying to sit here and just dog on H1Z1 and say, you know, you're not going to be able to do this, you're not going to be able to do that. But when I see this image, Brian, of a cabin and a dock in which foliage is growing through the bottom of the dock, because the dock is all crippled and just decaying and dilapidated. That's awesome. But is it going to look like this? Or is it just going to be grass clipping through the solid models in the game? I mean, this is my fear with this. There isn't a cabin in the game that has any light coming out of it. They're all just dark. There's no light. And I've just got to wonder, I get it, it's concept art. It's not supposed to be the same. But how close, I guess, what's the tolerance between how close your concept art is and how close your final product looks? Because if this final image ends up like what we have in the game right now, which is just, you know, pristine docks and cabins that look like they were a little roughed up, that's not this. The roof, I mean, part of the roof is gone on this cabin. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's what I'm wondering is how much they're going to actually change this. How much are they going to customize and make special to Just Survive? Because they've got to at some point leave and start making something that's very different than King of the Kill. And I'm hoping that that's what this is.
Yeah,
I don't know. You can take, for instance, I mean, if you take a look, I'll put it in the show notes here, just an example of a screenshot. Like, this is the kind of stuff that they'll show you.
Yes.
Maybe it is in game, but it's very much.
Yeah. This is in game.
Seen in game. You don't see things that look like that. Like, do you remember ever feeling that way?
No.
I mean, it's possible, but look how much that was like early on in development.
Yes, it was.
Looks nothing like that now. There's no rain.
That's kind of my frustration, and I get it. And I mean, Ark's a perfect example. Ark does a lot of these concept art renders, and they don't look exact. And again,
pretty close.
But you need to be close. I mean, the whole concept art is great if you can, you know, get to the concept. But if the one specifically is this meat factory. I mean, this is quite a complex drawing here. There are spider webs and cobwebs all over the place. There's guts hanging out from this gigantic circular saw. There's cow carcasses or animal carcasses hanging on a conveyor belt. You know, there's trash cans with guts tipped over. Is it just going to end up just a bunch of kind of dull?
That's the thing. Is
gray
that they've
clutter?
Create those. Put that. They've got to put that detail in there.
We've yet to see that. That's kind of my hesitation here. We've seen concept art like this in the past, and is it a limitation? And we see this happens with regular models. We see these pictures on Twitter, and they're very high resolution. They've got all this detail, and then they get put into Forge Light, and it looks like garbage. I mean, they just look like squares or rectangles. There's no depth. There's no detail. There's no texture on them. Is this? I mean, that's the. It's a fear to me that they're releasing these images and now the average person looks at this and goes, I can't wait to see this in game. And then they're going to go to it in game and go, what the hell is this? It doesn't look anything like the picture I saw. I mean, you set yourself.
We've gotten used to it.
If you can't touch the concept, you shouldn't release the concept art. Please prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But you can't release an image like this and get people's hopes up to, I mean, wow, look at that. I mean, look at the way that the sun is coming in through those dingy, like frosted over windows. You can see dust particles. Now, I'm not expecting the dust particles. That's a little overkill. But, you know, is there going to be light rays coming in from frosted over windows? I haven't seen that in the game.
So I want to show you. Okay, so. I just put a link in there. This is kind of what you can expect as far as the difference. So this is supposed to be, do you see that link?
Yes.
Yep. Like Romero's. And that's not at all the feeling you get from Romero's.
No.
I mean, there are shelves, but like, there's no sense of any of that. Like that's concept art. That's the difference between concept art and, you know, for people that remember what Romero's looks like.
Now,
what the real thing is.
But what I would say is, Brian, I think this is close. It's not exactly the same, but you could show me this picture and show me Romero's, and I could see that this
you,
is
you can
what,
see that the shelves
exactly it follows the concept art. But now you got to remember, this is a pretty advanced. The other one is pretty advanced. I mean, this isn't anything too crazy. This is some store shelves with stuff kind of knocked all over the place. And they did an all right job with Romero's. But, I mean, how are you going to take this meat factory and transform this?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of blocking objects there. I mean, that's part of the problem is that's not realistic for gaming because there's too many blocking objects. Your character won't be able to run around and move.
Now, if this was a single player kind of linear game, this would be a perfect, this would be an awesome area. But yeah. I don't want to be tripping. I don't want to be constantly getting stuck on an animal carcass hanging from the ceiling in King of the Kill, or excuse me, not King of the Kill, in Just Survive, because there's things chasing me. There's people trying to kill me. So, yeah. I hope for the best, but based on past concept, again, I only have available to me what I've seen in the past from this game. And what I've seen in the past is concept art that frankly just doesn't live up to what's being implemented. And it's not because they have bad artists and bad modelers. It's because when they take these they take these concepts and they take these models and put them into the engine, get all the details gone. There's no there's nothing left. Yep. It wipes all the detail out.
The engine, they can't put that much detail in because the game would just run horribly if they did. I mean, with how they have everything. They're running it and optimizing it so that it runs well on a lot of the potatoes that are out there that are running this game.
Which you've got to give them some credit for, because there's a lot of games, if you look at games on Steam, there's lots of games that if you don't have a very modern CPU and a very modern GPU, you are not playing. So, I mean, Battlegrounds is dealing with that problem right now. It's not quite as bad as some other games, but you need a pretty beefy system to play Battlegrounds. It's not going to run on a laptop that you buy from Staples. I mean, you need a dedicated. Yep. It's not going to run on Intel HD graphics on a laptop. It's not going to happen. So I can see.
And that's what they've got to decide. You know, what amount of audience are you willing to give up for a good looking game?
Yeah.
And they've kind of stated they're not willing to give up any audience. They're going to put out a game that will run on almost anything, which they have done.
Yeah.
And it runs on computers that it would run on my laptop probably, which I can't get any other games like that to run on.
Yeah. So that's this. Again, I look forward to this stuff being implemented. I don't want to get my hopes up for things like that.
Yeah.
I hate to be a realist, but it's the way I am.
Well, people just have to have realistic expectations. You know, you know what to expect. When they release that level, don't go pulling up that concept art and say, hey, this doesn't look like that. I mean, just this is realism. It's not going to look like that. And if they do, man, that's amazing. And Craig, and that'll be all the more props to them at that point. But that's just, I really don't see it happening unless they have some major changes that they do to the engine or to how they're doing their models.
Yes. Now we do have a Just Survive live update that came through last week. Inside of this, it included a live server wipe, multiple fixes for different numbers of crash to desktop issues. The one specifically that they note is while placing doors on shacks while inside of them. So if you were inside of a shack and placed a door, it would, you know, crash the desktop, which is, I think, how I've always placed doors on shacks from inside the structure. Fixed an exploit where players could cause ethanol to float. Fixed a legacy bug that permitted an exploit that crashed servers. So, of course, that could be a problem. Several marketplace UI tweaks. Just a couple of other crashes. Models disappearing. Little exploit things here and there. And then, of course, that new crate, the Outlands crate that we showed, I believe that was last week, is now released and is in the game. And then on the 27th, there was a test update for Just Survive. Now, this is interesting, Brian. This restored AirDrop, the AirDrop ticket UI. This was removed in an error. And they say there's currently no plan to change AirDrop tickets or remove them from players' inventories, although they were moved in the marketplace back in January. This fixed a login exploit And then fixed an issue with the leather flannel vest and the eagle flannel vest, caused them to render incorrectly. So, kind of more of a general bug fix.
A quick fix. And I'm assuming that they'll be able to roll this one out pretty quickly to live, unless they're going to be adding more to it. But I would assume that this is something that they'd be like, all right, you know, let's roll out to live, because they're a bunch of small fixes. I don't know why they'd have them sit there, especially with the airdrop ticket system. I'm assuming they probably want to get that back into there.
I would hope so. I think that's H1Z1.
For them. All right. So do we want to go ahead and jump to the giveaway?
Yeah. What do we got?
All right. So we're going to be giving away a copy of Mushroom 11. And this is an indie adventure action puzzle platformer.
Oh, my favorite.
So, yes, favorite kind of game that you've been missing. So this has a very positive rating. It's worth about $15 right now, on the Steam Marketplace. So you're more than welcome to enter that exclamation point giveaway if you want to be put in the role for there. It says it's filled with brain-twisting puzzles and bizarre mutations. And it seems like looks like a pretty fun game. So exclamation point giveaway, and we'll give that away in about 5 minutes.
Yes, of course. And if you want to support our show, you can head on over to infectionpodcast.com/support, bookmark one of our Amazon affiliate links, or give us a direct contribution via PayPal. And of course, we appreciate you for supporting the show. So we'll do that giveaway here in just a couple of minutes. What do we want to get into, Brian?
Let's go ahead and jump into ARK, because this is going to be pretty fast. They are prepping for the next version that's coming out, which should be coming out on May the 4th.
Hey, which, there you go.
Beforehand, May the 4th be with you.
Oh, jeez. Give me a nerd loot.
Yeah.
Nerd.
So that's going to be coming out here in 2 days. They should be putting out this pretty big patch. But right now they had a small hot fix that they put out. And this is 256.71. First of all, they had an unversioned edition where they put a volcano border markers around the volcano to give people a hint of when or which bases might be destroyed when that update comes out. So I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be happening in a couple of days. So they're really trying to give you a little bit of a heads up in case you are there, that when you log into your base and you notice there's a bunch of red around you, you should probably leave that area. So he said best move out over the coming days, because this should be in the patch for May the 4th. Structures with red sides of the border may be destroyed by the upcoming volcano update. And so there is a link in there that shows you what that update is, as far as kind of a look at what that border looks like at the moment, where the damage is, or what things are going to be changed from there on up. And then also there's some new music. I don't know if you want to maybe play a little bit of each of those. Do you have the ability to do that?
Just
beginning of the clip. They have some new music that they're putting in, probably in this upcoming patch here for 257.
It is taking quite a while to load.
Okay. There's four different clips here. And I'll get your opinion once these play, which ones what the kind of the feel is of them.
So this is kind of more like a sci-fi feel from this first one. It's called ARK 1. Kind of like a sci-fi with the, I don't know, seems like a kind of an 80s sci-fi movie sound.
So is this kind of maybe the future, like more the tech tier level?
Oh, of course, tech tier. Everybody loves it. Big fan. big tech tier fans over here. So here's ARK.
So that ARK 1, that's what I was kind of gathering, is maybe that was the tech tier level.
Okay.
And then do you want to play some ARK 2 here?
Yep. This has got the suspense with the suspense instruments with this building up. So you're being chased. There's something going on. I mean, this is typical kind of suspense music with some wind instruments and string instruments and so on and so forth.
And then, okay, so ARK 3, and it seems like what I gather from this, it kind of goes more to the past at this point. So let's try some ARK 3.
I'm getting a jungle vibe from this.
Yeah, kind of a jungle, maybe like more of the castle area.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of, what is that, a xylophone or whatever, I think, in here is kind of throwing me off a little bit, giving me kind of a jungle vibe with that. And then
we got the Arc 4, which is the final one.
Again, I got the jungle vibe from this. The kind of the way that the map is set up, where you're butt naked running around trying to collect resources.
Yeah, it's
kind
of more of an ancient feel.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I'm kind of thinking from 4 to 1, it's going from like early on to maybe later in the game. I don't know when they're going to be planning on putting this in, but that's kind of the feel I get across, you know, the 4 different clips. So these will be, should be in the new patch they're putting out. And we'll have a clip too. If you want to hear those whole thing, the whole part of that, we'll have a link in our show notes that go to that page and you can check them out. One thing to keep in mind that they will be adding, one thing they added to the upcoming, so this isn't going to be in this patch, but I'm kind of keeping up on the a little further out, see when they add new things to that. They're doing adding split screen support.
Yes, this is important.
This isn't going to be in 2.5.7, but it should be in the maybe 2.5.8. I don't know if they have a 2.5.8.
So I have recently, you've heard Brian and I both talk about couch co-op. I don't really think this is a game I'd ever play couch co-op. But there are people that will. And having that split screen and allowing, and this is already a game that is supported with Steam. Like, it's got full controller support. It's on the Xbox and PlayStation. So the only thing I guess they were missing was split screen, so you could play with two people. That's pretty important, I think. There's a lot of people that are putting a gaming PC in a closet somewhere and streaming stuff with Steam Link or using one of those boxes to hook it up to a monitor and keyboard and mouse and not actually playing on the computer. So having that stuff is pretty important.
And one thing that they're adding actually in 2.5.7 is the full gamepad input ability. So
okay, cool.
It'll pretty much be console gamepads will be fully supported. So you'll be able to put that. So they're doing their full gamepad input pass. So that should be mostly functional by 2.5.7. So if you've been wanting to use a controller on PC, you should be having more of an experience that is similar, which will be good for playing on a streaming box, like he was talking about. That'll be really nice because then you'll actually be able to play with the controller when you haven't necessarily been able to with the, maybe, with the PC version of the game up until now, because they fixed the controls mostly.
I think it's always been supported
for PS4. Yeah, but I think they're making it so that it's works like it does on a console.
I've never played it on the PC with a controller because the UI was just always awful, and I could never have imagined trying to do that with a controller. So we will. I'll have to see where that goes, but I'm definitely, I can definitely appreciate games working on the couch co-op controller split screen support. I really do appreciate it.
So now one more thing that they did add that we haven't talked about yet. So they're going to be revamping the Ingram tree. So a force respec and max level set to 100 before ascension. So you're not going to lose your levels or experience unless you were above a level 105, which you'll be reset back to level 100. So they're doing a force respec and they're redoing the whole Ingram tree. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah,
so that's going to be, and I think this is in preparation for that whole ascension thing that they're planning on doing, just trying to make it so that is the end game. So, and one thing, they make a note in here, there's going to be 15 new music tracks. So the 5 or 4 that we played are not the only 4 new ones. They're doing 15 new music tracks that are per biome and situational.
So I could have been right. So those could have been jungle sound clips, which they sounded like.
Yes. Yep. So those would be more jungle area, or if you're being chased by something, you'll get a little bit different music. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up. And this will be the ascension game progression. So in 2 days, if they make the May 4th date, this is going to be a really, really big update. So,
and again, we've
talked worth checking out.
We've talked about it over and over and over again. I'm sure you're sick of us hearing it. Tweaking audio and adding more audio clips is so late game. It's audio is important. We get that, but they have sufficient audio, I think, in the game right now. Adding, having 15 sound, well, actually they probably had like 40 or 50 soundtracks composed, and then just narrowing that down to 15 to implement, that's an indication of late game. Late game is here. So
yes,
there you go.
So very good. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll have to do a game of the week again, maybe continuing the one that we started, with more end game things, after this patch, because I think that'll be a lot of fun. And there should be enough. My wife's been asking me, when are you guys going to do Ark again? Because we started that one with kind of checking out the ocean and some of the late game things, and she's ready. So I've been saving that server file. So we should be able to continue it where cool. we left off and do another game of the week.
Nice.
And what are we going to be doing for game of the week? Did we discuss this?
No, I didn't. I actually just sent you a private message about that.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Because that was one thing I was kind of wondering. I wasn't sure if you were wanting to try to do the game board thing. Are we doing, which day are we doing that?
That's Saturday the 13th.
Okay. So do we want to do another arc? And because this should be after this patch.
But it might not. It's supposed to come out Thursday.
That's the thing, is if they push it out to Friday, they'd have to be somewhat on time. They could be a day late and still be okay.
That's totally up to you. I won't be around.
Okay, let's go ahead and let's do that. So let's go ahead and do Ark, unless this patch doesn't come out. And if it doesn't come out, then we'll do a
Battlegrounds or something like that.
Yeah, we'll do something that everybody has. But let's aim for Ark, because this should be a really big update, and there should be a lot of new things for people to check out with new music, you know, the UI being revamped, just a lot of things are changing. So this would be cool to check out right after it's out.
Missing Ark yet again. Who knows? See.
And Joe says 7 days. Joe makes a comment. 7 days to Die is, is due for game of the week. What I'm waiting for 7 days to Die is for their new Alpha 16 to come out.
We'll talk about that.
We'll be talking about in a little bit. So once we will be doing a 7 days to Die one as soon as the new patch comes out. It's just been a while.
Soon, TM.
And now this is something I said. I think I told you it's been 7 months.
Yeah,
since 7 days has put out a patch.
Well, let's talk about 7 days then, because we're already on that topic. Okay. So that works.
We're aiming that way.
It has been 7 months, and
Alpha 15 came out.
So the big things in this are the biggest thing I remember to me was that the way that the town's rendering in a much farther distance now, because right now, unless you're right on top of a town, it's just kind of a concrete pad. That's kind of the big thing with this, is the huge render distance increase that towns have gotten. I don't remember the other big things that are supposed to be in this. It's been so long since we've talked about it.
You can
paint things, you can skin,
you can redo the outsides.
Yeah.
Now, there was a comment by Joe, who is one of the developers of this, one of the guys mm-hmm. who started it, saying that, and he actually said this on Twitter today, that this patch is so big that it's like a free DLC, which I wasn't really happy about reading. Because, this game is not anywhere near finished, but I understand what he's trying to say. This is going to be a really big patch. I hope it's not a hint that maybe they'll be doing paid DLCs in the future. It's getting us kind of warmed up to the idea, but from what I gather from them, I don't think that's unless they're, I would rather see them do maybe skins. Kind of like what they did on their console version, which is really weird that their console version has Left 4 Dead skins.
Yep.
And there's no skin, or not Left 4 Dead. Is it Left 4 Dead skins? Yeah, they had Left 4 Dead skins and they had the Walking Dead skins, if I remember correctly.
It's just the Walking Dead, I think. Because it's developed by the same company. Walking Dead. It's a Telltale game.
So yeah, that's the thing, is they had the Walking Dead skins that are only for console, and I don't know if it's probably a licensing.
It's a licensing thing with Telltale, because it's the same publisher. Yeah.
Yeah, but why don't they offer that to the PC people? Like, you figure, have people pay $1, $2, $3 and be able to play as those characters. I'm sure people would love to do that.
Yes, for sure. So,
as far as 7 days to Die, now this has been a big controversy.
Has it?
Is that, well, for the people on this thread, at least.
Okay. So
there seems to be a lot of controversy. I mean, I don't really care personally.
Let us know what's going on here.
All right. So what they're going to be doing is having some people, some streamers, pretty much sponsored streamers, that are going to be playing the game before it's actually released, this new update. So they're going to be playing, pretty much for a week or two before the release. They're going to be playing it on their stream so people can see it. And a lot of people are upset that they're sitting here and pushing promotion rather than just getting the game out. They're saying if the game is far enough along for them to be able to play it on their streams, why aren't you guys just putting it out for people to play? And one thing that some of the people that, not really developers, but people that are moderators on this forum and things like that, are saying, hey, it's still not ready for public to play, but they're just getting what is possibly maybe a buggy version or incomplete version for these streamers to play. So, you know, it's not that these guys, they're not sitting there and waiting for this publicity stream to finish and then saying, all right, we'll release. The game is not going to be finished, or it's not going to be ready for release of the new alpha until, you know, they feel like it's done. This is not hindering the release. They're not saying, hey, let's play this and then let's wait 2 weeks so people get really antsy for it, and then we'll release it. That's not what they're doing. That's what they say they're not doing.
So I guess, you know, without getting into too much of the drama behind this, who cares? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
how is this any different than
really into this game that are just kind of anxious because it's been so long for this release?
Well, and I think that's what has to be noted here. That's the important part here. They are saying, we are pleased to announce that we have partnered with three popular streamers who have shown their dedication and love for 7 Days to Die. These are people.
Yeah. They're sponsored streamers. They're sponsored by, as J.D. Lori's pointing out, sponsored by the Fun Pins.
Yes, and they're being sponsored because they have shown that they are willing to
stream it a ton.
They love the game, and they play it all the time. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad that it's not just... This is what we run into with H1Z1 is them having these people promote the game that don't play the game.
Yeah.
At least these guys are letting people that are really into streaming this game have an opportunity to show it off to the public.
This
rather than saying, oh, let's see if we can get, you know, C's to play this. Let's see if we can get Summit to play this, because that's kind of like the go-tos.
And this is for a company that is producing a game. This is the easiest and the cheapest PR you could ever imagine. There's no cost associated with this. They're generating keys for their game, which costs them effectively $0. So for this is just, I don't see how there could possibly be controversy with. They're giving people, and some of it is probably people just being butthurt about it because, you know, other people are getting access and I'm not. And you know, people just have to be pissed off. I mean, obviously these streamers have shown their dedication to the game worthy enough that, you know, they're willing to give them a copy of a game that's not finished. So,
yeah.
I mean, who the hell cares?
And then what they're going to be doing is giving away keys during the game or during the live stream.
So they're scheduled live streams. It's not just stream, you know, whenever. Yeah. These are
pre-planned ones.
Yeah, there's one stream that's going to be live on Saturday, one on Friday, and one on Sunday. So it's planned out. It's a couple of hours each stream. I just, God, Brian, I really just don't have a problem with this.
Yeah.
So, well, controversy.
I think people are more just upset that the patch isn't out yet. This is what they do. I mean, with 7 Days to Die, they've always squeezed so much into these patches.
Yeah.
That's been a constant thing with them, is putting a huge amount. If you go look at their patch 15 notes, their patch 14 notes, all of them are pages and pages and pages long. That's just what they do. And I think that they've gotten used to that. And I think on this one, they probably squeezed it a little more than what they should have been there. But, you know, I think we're at the finish line. I think we're just about to the point where they're going to release it. And I'm sure then people will be so happy and look all the great stuff you put in there. We love you guys. Yeah, you know, it's going to be all good again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people are just getting frustrated with it being 7 months.
And I'm seeing it. The first thing is, you know, oh, now we have to wait, you know, us plebs, we have to wait longer. It's just people being jealous.
The game isn't done. I mean, the thing is that they probably don't have all, they're probably not going to be, it's not complete. The features are not complete. These guys are probably.
But according to this guy on the forum, it is, Brian.
This.
Shut up. This guy on the forum is right. Yeah. He must. He knows.
I'm sure he knows.
You don't know what you're talking. You just do a stupid podcast. This guy knows. I mean, it's the same thing. This is their forums is literally Reddit. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just a bunch of people getting pissed off that somebody else is getting early access to. I mean, look at what Daybreak does. They send these streamers all these nice things for Christmas and whatever. You don't see me on here bitching and complaining about it.
Well, we did once, I think.
But I'm not sitting here making a...
Especially when we were the H1Z1 podcast and we see all these streamers who never play the game getting beanies and,
Now,
and getting swag.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty...
We had a legitimate concern. We were the H1Z1 podcast.
Yeah, but then you just...
Not to go back down that rabbit hole.
Yes, don't go too far. Don't go too far down that. And shut up, Joe. I didn't complain about it. not publicly, ever. My private conversations are my private conversations.
All right, do you want to go ahead and do this last giveaway?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so congratulations to Falcons Watch, who's been a viewer of our show, a listener for a long time. So congratulations. I will send you a link that will let you redeem that key here in the next couple of minutes.
Yes. So we, I put a post out. Like I've been doing this on Discord the past couple of weeks, and that last story about people being upset about 7 Days to Die giving it to streamers came from our good friend Saul. So what I've been doing on Discord the past couple of weeks is said, hey, what stories do you want us to talk about? Did you come across something throughout the week that you think we should talk about? So I did that on Discord, like I usually. Saul gave us that, and then I decided to throw it out on Twitter. And I got a response from Spite, who follows us on Twitter and watches the show. And he said, in all caps, Daisy standalone status report, please. And we haven't talked about Daisy in quite a while.
That's your area. For me, I don't own Daisy standalone, so it never pops up on my list of updates.
Yes.
And so I never really notice it, but they also haven't been putting out a ton of updates.
And they have, but they've kind of been more...
There have been more of notices of... Here's features we're working on, not necessarily.
And it's more of that, but it's also, you know, it's unfortunate to say we're not really into DayZ that much. We've tried it a couple of times and it's just really hard to get back into. Part of that's just my fault, I guess. But I did go to their website here and pull up the Daisy status report. So I will jump into that. And there's some interesting things that, and I like about this. This is exactly what I'd like from H1Z1 with these updates. A couple different, four or five different developers kind of write up a little thing and, you know, they talk about it. So the first thing they talk about is vehicles. And vehicle driving, vehicle handling is always a problem in multiplayer games. And Daisy has got something really cool. It's got a manual transmission. Most multiplayer games have automatic. It's just so much easier to deal with. It's just an easier thing to deal with. But Daisy does these more advanced, these more in-depth features. And they do have a manual transmission. But unfortunately, what they say with this is why they love the manual transmission, the vehicle handling, and the mechanics of the vehicles are what he says, and this is from Hicks, are, quote, far from where we want them to be. He says, of course, the biggest culprit is physics. That's problems in every single game, and handling on the terrain. Now, what he also goes on to say is that while we like these vehicles and we want to get them, they're nowhere close to being done. This is not an indication that hey, we love this. It's in the game. That's not the case. He also notes a couple of things that they want to continue working on throughout the rest of beta. First thing is the terrain handling / acceleration of these vehicles, sound effects, which is something that Daisy's always they've always worked on that throughout the game instead of just kind of making that a late game thing. They want better sound effects on engines and transmissions, especially with the manual transmission. A lot of manual cars, you want that sound effect with it. You don't want it to sound like another crappy automatic car. So that's another thing. UI specifically being able to toggle the HUD so that you can toggle the HUD, which is something that some people like to do, especially for screenshots. It's nice for screenshots to be able to get rid of the HUD and take a picture with that. A couple of other things on here. They want some feedback on vehicle damage states as well. And then proper destruction of vehicles. They're working on getting that deployed and fully implemented. So that was that's from Brian Hicks on that. Now we do have an update on this is from Eugene, and this talks about their 6.3 beta team. They're working on 6.2, yep. But what they're calling the 0.63 beta strike team. And this kind of goes through what the different people in that team are going to be working on. So, for example, the programmers in this 6.3 beta team are going to be working on AI scripting, zombie behavior. They're going to work on reworking the wind, inventory and item conditions, item spawns, user actions in multiplayer, network traffic optimization, lighting fixes, sound event manager, crashes and bug fix, so on and so forth. Animations are going to be working on some more weapon mechanical animations, hit reactions, some different types of animation plugins. So that's what animations is working on. The designers.
Now, one thing to keep in mind with these guys is they kind of use their own engine.
Yeah.
So Bohemia Interactive has their own engine. So it's not like some of these other games where all of these features are like either under Unreal or maybe, you know, it's one of these engines that they're just taking advantage of all this. If they want the physics of the vehicle to be that much different, they have to code it into the engine. So that's why they put probably a little more emphasis on certain things, because if they're like, oh, we want to implement this feature, well, it's just like H1Z1. They have to make the feature and put it in the engine if it doesn't already exist.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. So, you know, with the designers are going to be working on player representation, some UI stuff, lifespan, and a whole bunch of different things. But other than that, I mean, this is kind of the updates that we've been seeing in the past. And it's honestly the reason why we stopped talking about, didn't talk about DayZ for a while, because it's just kind of the same stuff.
There's not a lot of specifics. It's not a lot of specifics of here's exactly what we did this update. It's more of, oh, here's what we're working on, kind of overarching, broad, generalized statement.
And there, I'm sure,
and
there
that's
has
kind of the issue.
Go ahead.
How do you talk about that?
Yeah, and I'm sure we've missed important updates, but I mean, until probably
if they were more poignant, though, we wouldn't miss those things. That's the thing, is when they say, oh, we're working on mocap or working on vehicle physics, well, we need to know the details of what are you working on, you know, specifically to know that this week's working on physics of the vehicle is different than last week's working on the physics of vehicles. That's my issue.
Yeah, you know, also with this, up until probably the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been so far behind on notes, we never would have gotten to it. We've finally just been able to catch up and are covering what we're covering. So with that, that's pretty much DayZ. And again, I'm going to do the same thing next week. So if you see a story throughout the week, an article, a forum post, a Reddit post that you think is interesting, tweet it to us at any point during the week. It'll stay in our timeline. I'll log it down and I'll get it over to Brian so that when he's prepping and doing the show prep, he can include that. Because I guarantee you there are things that we miss throughout the week because we're doing 1,000 different things and we miss stuff. So if you see anything throughout the week that you think, hey, maybe these guys might be interested in it, send it over. And even if not, well, we won't talk about it, but please if you have something, send it over, because we'd love to. We miss stuff all the time. It happens all the time because we cover so many different games, you know, and we try to cover them in best detail. But you know, we have a limited amount of time here, we do that. And
we've been pushing our time limit like every week.
Yes.
So far.
Yes. So we do.
All right. So do you want to go into? There's some information on Battlegrounds. Now, one thing is, they took a week off because they pushed really hard up to this point. And I saw a post that was on Twitter just saying, hey, we're taking 1 week off. So that, perhaps that's why we haven't seen the week 6 update, I think it
probably
was. But I did find an article here that was discussing that they have sold 2 million copies.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. It took H1Z1 a long time to get to the number of sales that they have. I mean, you got to think that H1Z1 has been out for 2.5 years,
120 weeks
about now. Yep. So, if you look at here, Battlegrounds within 6 weeks has sold 2 million copies, which is just incredible. So, and that's the thing, is it didn't sell that many on day one. So obviously people are watching these streamers, which is a big thing. People are seeing people play it. their friends are playing it. They got to be hearing comments that people are making, and it's causing it to get this many. I don't know where it's going to cap out. From what I remember, H1Z1 was like 4 million, 4.5 million or something like that.
Yeah.
A while ago. Last time I looked at it.
You mentioned streamers, Brian. League of Legends, of course, as always, has like 140,000 people watching it. But in second place, by a long shot, by like 20,000 viewers, is Battlegrounds. Behind that, Hearthstone, yep. GTA, Overwatch, and Dota. I think I saw a tweet from Manpawns earlier today on Twitter saying, showing, and we'll cover the Steam numbers later on. He said, this game is changing the Steam charts. You know, the games that control Steam are Dota, CSGO, TF2, and GTA. I mean, those are the massive games that are always on top, always, you know, controlling those Steam charts, and Battlegrounds has sure broken that up. And even H1Z1 too. I mean, they're always on the top of that list. It's just, they're just not playing in our region. So the numbers aren't quite as prominent, but
huge on panda.tv.
Yeah, well, no, it is. This is a big deal. It's really changing the Steam charts. He's spot on with that. This game. Okay, I'm done with the H1Z1 bashing after this. This game took everything that H1Z1 was said to be and was promised with King of the Kill, as that was his thing originally. If we got to remember, King of the Kill was his mod. It was originally called PlayerUnknown's Battle Royale. He took everything that Battle Royale was supposed to be and needed to be, and just did his own thing with it. And it's kick ass because it's a kick ass concept. And he's got a great team over there, Bluehole, that knows how to develop a video game. Simple as that. Yeah. I mean, it's not a complex formula. Have a decent developers and have a good idea. Problem solved. I mean, I know it's more complex than that, but is it really?
So there's one thing that we actually talked about throughout the week that we didn't put in the show notes. But in China, they changed some things.
Totally.
So we talked about this and we totally forgot to put it in the show notes, but we can discuss it right now.
Yeah.
So in China, they changed the police car. Isn't a police car. It is now
a taxi cab. Crazy taxi. Right? Hey, hey, hey.
Yep. And the blood is no longer red. The blood is now black. So in China, they changed, and I don't remember, I think that was sort of the two things that they changed. I don't remember if there might have been a third thing.
I think that was the big stuff.
Those are the two main things that stood out to me was that, they're making it so there's no police cars in China. And now the thing is that these are for people that are even playing your games. Anyone that's using a Chinese copy, even if they're playing on an American server, it is local that they're seeing this. So anyone who plays in China that's looking at the game, even if they're going against you, when they see the game, if you're driving a police car, they will see you as in a taxi cab. And if you see, if whatever blood that you would see, they're just seeing it as black, which I thought was really interesting. I had said 2 weeks ago, they just need to start catering to their audience. Right. Do you remember me saying that exact thing? And that's
yes, Brian, I remember you saying that. You're right yet again. Whoop-de-doo.
And so anyway, I should have written it down in my little, it wasn't a prediction. It was just a suggestion, but that's what they're doing. They were like, well, okay, here's what would make the Chinese government happier probably, or whatever culture things they have over there. They don't want to see American cop cars for some reason. Okay, let's put taxi cabs in there.
What else? Do we have anything else in that prediction book?
No, we've only written one thing. And then there's one thing that we had in there that I haven't written down, but that was the original. I think the next big thing is going to be Western survival.
Write that down. Damn it. That needs to be in the book because that is a key. That is a meme. Brian is memeified. So we do need to add some more stuff.
I've got my prediction book here. So we need to put more predictions.
We do.
We need to make sure that if I do say something that we,
oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's not like a,
we take note of it and write it down.
Yes. So we'll get some more predictions in here. The other thing with Battlegrounds is that tournament, all of the players are announced for that. And in his typical fashion, the doc tweeted out that, this him and Tim the Tat Man, I mean, there's not even any competition or something like that. So he's expecting to go in and mop the floors up. I mean, he's pretty freaking good, but there's a lot of good people in that tournament. And I believe I saw as well.
And a lot of these people are dedicated, like people that have been playing Arma, and they're really into this genre a lot more than he is. He's more into the H1Z1 style of it. You know, and he's been doing well in this, but there's people that they have been playing Arma and Daisy and like more things that are under more of that engine style that this kind of mimics.
Yes.
A lot more than what he's used to playing. So it'll be interesting to see how that competition ends up being. Cause there's what 40 something, I think streamers are doing this.
Yeah. I think it's 40 per region or no. Yeah.
No, I think it's 40, like 42 or something.
Okay. No. Yeah. Maybe. But
I thought it was like 42. But it's split between North America and I think
you're right. Yeah. Something like that. And I did also see, trying to find it, slip past me here on Twitter. Somebody is donating like this tournament that they're doing, with Gamers Outreach. Let's see. So Battlegrounds is matching up to $100,000 in donations. So for up to $100,000 donated during this stream, which takes place this Thursday, they will match. They're going to give up to $100,000. So they're going to match dollar for dollar up to $100,000, which is a big deal. If you are watching this stream on Thursday, I highly recommend you throw a couple bucks to Gamers Outreach. They're a wonderful charity, and Battlegrounds is going to match it.
Yep, cool. Yeah,
so yes, very good. I'm really looking forward to this. Genuinely looking forward to this.
And so, yeah, it'll be fun to see because I'm sure they'll have, and it'll be interesting to see how they do this. You know, how they kind
right
of
off the bat,
show
I mean,
it off.
The game's not that old and they're already having a tournament.
Yep. I mean, it's 6 weeks old.
Yeah.
In fact,
it's crazy,
which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But I mean, that shows you how stable it is. I mean, the fact that, and this is, they're not putting a huge amount of money on the line as far as competition, which is what they should have, you know, which is how they should be doing it. I think this is for charity. So if there's things that break or things that don't work right, it's not a huge competition. It's all for charity. So, you know, that's fine. And I think that this is the level they should be doing it at for now. You know, once they get something that's very polished and tuned, then you can see if you want to do actual tournaments. But I don't know. Do you feel that this is a game that matches doing tournaments like that?
No, it's not. The games are slow. Not crazy slow, but the games are slower. There's a lot more tactical stuff. I mean, we saw this with the H1Z1 tournament. We talked about this. While there is not as quite as much tacticalness in H1Z1, not quite as much setup, they were still limited with a TV tournament with how they were able to show that. And Battlegrounds is way more complex tactically, setup wise. I don't see this being a good tournament game streamed at all because there's just too much stuff. You're gonna have to.
But the thing is, they may put in different game modes that do match, and they have that flexibility to be able to do it.
Yes, if they did a small, you know, small circle zone, like
maybe
you
all maybe you'll land into a limited area, like you can only jump over a certain area, which brings everybody closer together, and the gas area starts out in just outside of that, like forcing people into quick small area initially, you know, limited amount of loot to where you can just get looted up and then you go to battle. Like that might work.
I've been saying that for years with H1Z1,
but this years. Is that they have the framework to be able to do this.
I agree
with this type of a game, and they're already showing it. I mean, they already have a thing that lets people customize games, and we were nowhere near having anything like that in H1Z1.
I agree with you completely. Years. So,
all right. Do we want to move on to Unturned, or what game do you want
to
do?
Yeah, let's
next?
Do Unturned. We haven't talked. Unturned took a. There was like two or three weeks that Unturned didn't have updates, so we kind of dropped off our radar. But we're back here, and we do have a new Unturned update. This is 3.18.9. The additions in this update is added support for shooting the turret from the pilot seat. And this is for their, this is for the jet, and I'll show a picture of that. A couple of fixes with this as well. Fix some cases where necks could get stuck, where the neck could get stuck. Fixed an exploit using crops to push cameras through the wall. Fixed off-scope reticle scaling. Fixed several, buildables showing flat white. I don't know what that means.
That just means it was white.
Gotcha.
The color of it was white.
Fix a potential problem, corrupting long text on signs, because there is sign customization. This you can write stuff down and whatnot. and just a couple of other things with vehicles, nothing crazy. And now for NIST, they do have they're working on the next official map. And when we had Nelson on the show, I don't remember the episode number off the top of my head. It was interesting to hear how they deal with maps. We talked to him about it and said, hey, you know, this game is your baby. How do you feel giving control to other people to make changes and build maps? And the Russia map and the Hawaii map were, for the most part, crowd-sourced maps that he went through and did the cleanup and the touch-up on. And the next official map is out here. And this week they've been working on new vehicles and objects for the next official map. They haven't decided on the exact geographical position of it yet. But they, you know, they're looking at,
it says they want it to be more mountainous and vertical. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like Colorado. I mean, usually people don't think of Idaho when they think of mountainous and vertical. So I don't think it's going to be Idaho.
No, probably not. Sorry, Brian.
But probably Colorado, because people seem to think mountains in Colorado.
Yeah. And that'll be kind of be interesting for this game, because most of these maps, they're pretty flat. You've got some bridges, some water breaking them up, but they're just kind of flat lands. I mean, there's hills and whatnot, but nothing serious in terms of big mountains. So that'll be interesting to see. They're working on that. And here is this is what they call a small teaser of a jet flying through the air. I'm telling you, man, people want to bash on this game. It's Minecraft zombies. This game is very, very advanced and
it's incredible the amount that he has in there.
And it's hard. I mean, you will die all the time. Constantly, you will be dead. And your friends don't want to play the game because they die too much and they don't like hard games. That's pretty much it. I'm telling you, nobody likes to play a game where they load in and they die. But this game is hard. It's supposed to be hard, and that's the reality of it. So that is Unturned.
Very good. Yep. So and there are other. I mean, we did talk about some updates as they came out over time. So if you go to his Steam page and you go to news, has all the previous updates. So you're more than welcome to go and browse to in case we ever missed any too. So do we want to go into the Rust video? Because this one's a shorter video.
Yes.
Because of something going on with Shadowfax, he wasn't able to do the full in-depth with a bunch of video clips like usual, but it's good for the podcast form because he does a lot more talking and less video.
Less show and tell, more talking. Yes, this is... Yes. Where's the number on this? This is DevBlog 157 and the video associated with it from, of course, Shadowfrax.
Greetings, survivors and friends. This week's update video isn't going to be quite the usual cinematic eye candy affair that you're used to from me, as unfortunately I have some rather pressing work-related duties. Not something to moan about, really, and I am grateful for it, as it does put pies on the table in the stable. But it does mean that I have to be a bit more matter-of-fact about what changes have been made to Rust this week. So, without further ado, the first items on the itinerary are both a buff and a nerf. Firstly, the poor, sweet muzzle brake that takes the praying out of spraying got toned down a bit after Helk fiddled with it and decided that it was working a bit better than intended. The long and short of it being that now projectile velocity has been reduced by 20%, projectile distance by 25%, and the aim cone has been drastically increased. Don't cry, though, as the good news is that the Eoka has been buffed. Huzzah. Mainly because Helk wasn't able to kill someone with it last week. But the buff comes in the form of a drastically decreased aim cone this time, which should help curb its projectile dysfunction somewhat. Animals are slightly less stupid this week. You won't see quite so many kangaroo impressions as they traverse the landscape. Most have increased health, won't get stuck so often, and bears and wolves are not so inclined to flee. But on the flip side, some of them have a blind spot in the rear, and damage from chickens has been nerfed too. In related news, the new nav mesh generation, which has been causing an issue for some server owners, was optimized somewhat and apparently now loads 75% faster with a reduction in both CPU and memory usage. Shops can now be named and will show up on maps as such. They'll appear when you roll a cursor over them, but are limited to 32 characters in length, so you'll have to be fairly punchy with your sales pitch. Pooling was added to a number of frequently used items. This method basically reduces the overhead when entities are created and destroyed in the world, and so increases performance and reduces FPS drops. Anti-hack parameters have been in the spotlight this week too, and efforts are being made to tighten things up whilst eliminating as many false positives as possible. This is something that will take a while to get right as the team fumbles around in search of the sweet spot, but hopefully will work better and better as time goes by. And if you want to report hackers, it just got a little bit easier as the death screen will now display the name of your murderer as it appears on Steam and not in-game. Also, the F7 player selection will now show the person who last killed you at the top of the list. One more picture of the new launch site dungeon this week. Here's a view inside the rocket factory as it is at the moment, and although it's not easy to make out exactly, there are a few jumping puzzles between you and the top tier loot that will hopefully be found on the upper levels. In player movement, the focus is currently on adding reactive animations for when running, jumping, and changing direction. It's just a test at the moment, so could end up in
Concept Limbo.
So I have bookmarked it, but some things that will be added are different climbing animations for when traversing rope walls left to right. The background music system is currently being overhauled. Personally, I don't play with it on as it makes Ninja harder to detect, but when it is finished, it should be a ton better to listen to, we are reassured. And in addition, a few tweaks to sounds in general were made to tone down some of the more ear-splitting ones. Finally, we have 16 new skins this week, and as per, there will be a link to the item store in the description for you to peruse at your leisure. Apologies once again for the short but sweet delivery. Normal service will resume next week. Slap all the appropriate knobs and buttons and come and join me also on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and Steam. I shall catch you all soon, but in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right, thanks again, Shadowfrax, for that update. Brian, I guess I shouldn't say the biggest thing, but the thing that jumped out to me the most in that was the fact that they added the Steam username to the death and not the in-game player name. Because as we've talked about in the past, Rust is a very trolly game. It's just a trolly game, and it's fine. That's what the game is. But now this is, I guess there's now a little bit more account. I guess if you're interested,
accountability.
Yeah, I guess if you're really interested in trolling on Rust, I guess you're really not going to care. You know, if people are going to your Steam profile, but, you know, maybe some players will, especially if they've got a pretty extensive Steam profile that they don't want somebody coming on there and bashing them. So that kind of just jumped out to me that shows their Steam profile instead of their in-game name.
Yep. And that's something that, man, I look at all the stuff they put in this game and I'd be like, man, that looks like a game. It looks like a game that it would be fun to play in. Until you get in there, and it's just not my.
It's not my cup of tea.
I look at all the cool stuff. Like I like all the cool environments they put in there. There's just a lot of good stuff, and it's just a shame. I mean, it's there's a huge amount of people that do love playing the game, so it's not. You know, they definitely shouldn't change anything. Like they have their audience, and there's people that love to play the game as it is. But I just look at how they have such cool environments and the things that I really enjoy in there. You get in there and it's just like, I'm getting killed. And you don't get to experience anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So anyways,
it's,
we'll see if it ever changes.
Yeah. And again, I don't think it's a problem because, you know, we've talked about current players on Rust for forever now, and it's not a problem. There's plenty of people playing it and, it is what
it is.
What
I don't, it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just not my style.
No, it's not my style either.
You know, it's not your style again. So
often criticism is interpreted as bashing, and that's not.
No, it's definitely not bashing, and I think that they're perfectly okay. I mean, that's the game they created, and more power to them.
Yes, for sure.
So, all right. So let's go ahead and jump onto Conan because there was just a small patch this week. Actually, it was on the 28th. So. Since the last show, and this is Hotfix 28. So they do their dates in European styles for their patch numbers.
Filthy
Europeans. Hotfix 28.04.2017. So this is up exploit fixes and more. So they've released a hotfix for some of the major issues that people players have been experiencing since the last patch. And so what they've fixed is old foundations will no longer remain when upgrading to a higher tier. So they would stay down there. Chat should now scroll automatically. An exploit fix they did get to was you can no longer dodge through certain building pieces on log out and log in. Another exploit fix is that they disabled player input while logging out. And then players on PvE servers can now die of hunger, thirst, suicide, fall damage. This is something they supposedly fixed before, but they didn't. It didn't really fix. They said for reals this time. They fixed a problem which was preventing you from harvesting bushes multiple times. And then they put a note in here for some issues that they know are still out there. So they're aware of the problems related to the new emotes. So like locking characters, inability to swim, etc. And we'll be putting out a fix in the next patch. And then the resource nodes don't crumble and disappear like normal. So this is going to be addressed in the next patch as well. So that is the current patch. This was put on the 28th. So I would expect them probably to put a patch out in the next couple of days. Seems to be kind of their patch cycle.
Yeah, we'll talk about Conan Exiles. Man, I don't know. They're really hurting numbers wise.
Number wise.
I don't know what it's going to take. I think there's a lot. I think it's got a similar problem to H1Z1 Just Survive, where a lot of people have a really bad taste in their mouth about this game.
Yeah.
Because of the. And unfortunately, most of those issues weren't their fault. It was that terrible server host they had day one that caused all of the official servers to be offline for
yeah, but
weeks.
I think they're still creating content for this game.
They are.
I mean, that's the
they
thing
are.
Is
yeah.
This is an alpha game, and we've gotten so used to alpha meaning. And there's different type of games. Some of the games where, let's for instance take a look at H1Z1. When you look at King of the Kill, it's more of a player versus player game. Not so much a progression game. Well, this is more like an art game where people want progression, where maybe there's some PvP mixed in, but it's mostly a progression game. That takes a lot more time to form and to build. And I think that they're trying to create the content, create everything that creates something to play late game. But it's going to take them time. Like that's stuff that people are just going to have to let the game kind of possibly die out for a while. I mean, mainly what we did when we kickstarted it was, or you know, pretty much paid for the alpha, is paying for them to finish the game. I mean, that's what alpha is supposed to be. And so they've gotten money now to be able to pay their developers, and now we just got to give them some time. I think that that's kind of a mistake on our part, that we expect these games to have constant new features that are published every single week.
Yeah.
Which is great to see, but that's not really what alpha was supposed to be. It's just that's what it's turned into. As long as they're putting out major content updates in a reasonable amount of time and there actually are updates coming out, then I'd be happy. I don't expect them to put out a major patch every 3 weeks like we get used to with games like Ark. So we'll see. But sure. I think that they're kind of stuck. I mean, that's the expectation that a similar game, being that they're very similar to Ark in how the game feels, people kind of hold it up to that accountability level. And, that's how it is. So
yeah, it's and again, not a criticism. It's just interesting to look at. This game had crazy sales, and we read an article a couple months ago that the amount of sales off the bat with Conan Exiles saved Funcom. They were going to go bankrupt if this game was a flop. So they were saved by this game, and we look at the current players, and it's like, oh my, there's nobody playing. So,
yeah, but there's no. What were they supposed to do? Like, what, if you play for a long period of time, what are you supposed to do?
And that's part
there's
exactly.
Nothing there.
Exactly, it's a problem. So, you know, I'm waiting for this to turn around.
They've got to come out with some major. But that's the thing, is they just have to come out with some major end game patches
and
putting out. Here's some really good content to do in game. Here's some really good content. Like, put patches out like that. That'll start bringing people back.
And I can even say myself, I have not seen. Hardly, I don't think I've seen a single update since we played it originally that was like, whoa, got to go play Conan Exiles again. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, they had that dungeon patch, but that's still, you know, that's just one piece of the puzzle of what's going to make the end game work. Like, they need to have that plus a bunch more. And they got to be careful not to let it turn into what Rust has turned into and have it just purely be about destroying your other people's bases.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's pretty much what Rust is. I think that maybe it's good that they're not putting out a bunch of content and then they're going to put out a big bunch of content to bring all those people back. So it just doesn't turn into a big, I'm going to destroy your stuff. You destroy my stuff circle.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
There you
now,
go.
Now, time wise, I was going to talk about Scum this week.
Okay.
But let's push that off to next week.
I think it's a good idea.
Because it's not really time relevant. but I was going to go over some new things with the upcoming game called Scum. We'll get to that into next week just because I don't want to rush it and not give it the time it deserves.
All right. Oh, and hold on before you get into that. That's a great little introduction. If you see a game on Steam, on Indiegogo, on Kickstarter, wherever, some type of early access survival game, send it to us, tweet it to us, send us an email, contact at infectionpodcast.com.
Nisco3000 is really good about this.
Yes, he's very good.
He sends me on a regular basis, hey, here's a new survival game coming out. Here's a new survival game coming out. And so I really appreciate that. You know, if you have a game, you're like, why aren't you guys covering this game? We actually had a discussion in Discord earlier about an upcoming game, Outlast 2, that's coming out. You know, things like that bring up, hey, here's a game that I'm interested in that I haven't heard you guys talk about. Bring those things up because, you know, that puts it on a radar. And a lot of times I have a list of games that I'm kind of watching in the news. And when major news comes out for that game, then I'm like, okay, here, we're going to put it in the show notes this week. So if you put it on my list, you know, let me know that this is a game you're interested in. I'll put it on my radar. And then as news comes out for it, we'll be able to talk about it.
Yes. And so actually, really quick before we get going here, this was brought up to me in Discord. This is from a Game Informer magazine editor who says that there are two new maps in the works for PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds and that there's more details on this in this issue's month of Game Informer. So they gave an exclusive to Game Informer about their new maps. So
cool.
There you go. Thanks. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it. But again, stuff like that. That's something that I don't follow the guy from Game Informer on Twitter. So I just totally blew over my radar. So again, any of those, anything, stories, articles, headlines, whatever, send it to us. Even if you think we've already seen it, send it to us. Because if we haven't, which a lot of cases, I mean, we've totally forgot about the H1Z1 China stuff until you brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, this is something Nick and I discussed. Yeah. That's the problem when we talk through the week.
Yes.
We brought it up to each other. So I'm going to do the next game giveaway. So yes. This is going to be, if you put !! giveaway in chat, this is going to be for Dirt Rally, which is $59.99 on Steam. This is courtesy of Unicorn Joe.
Awesome.
So he gave me a copy. So this is Dirt Rally, put !! giveaway in chat, and you can get a copy of this, but we will be rolling for this right before the show ends here in probably about 5-10 minutes if we are long-winded.
Yes, and we do talk about different ways to support the show, and that's a way that we tell people from time to time, but we don't always talk about. If you have extra copies of a game, any game, that would fit into Brian's, Brian's gives away anything. He'll give away a visual novel, puzzle, platform, or whatever. If you've got extra games that are just sitting in your inventory because you can't redeem them, again, get in touch with Brian or myself, particularly Brian, and gift him that game if it's something you're willing to give away. We'll give you a shout out on the show. That's just another way that you can help support the show indirectly if you don't have any spare change to throw at us. But if you do,
eventually I will run out of games somehow.
It's
got to be at some point.
There'll be plenty. But of course, if you do want to support the show in a more traditional route, we do have a couple of different ways to do that over on our website, infectionpodcast.com/support. We've got our Amazon affiliate link. The way this works, you bookmark it. When you buy stuff on Amazon, you click our link, you search your product, you buy it. Gives us a couple of cents here and there. And if you want to do a direct contribution through PayPal, you can do so there. It's infectionpodcast.com/support. We appreciate it as always. Alrighty, Brian. That's going to cover. Now we've got current players, right?
Yes. Now, and just remember, game of the week is Ark. So make sure that it's all updated and running. And I will turn it on probably the day before. Once again, just maybe because there's people that didn't get a chance to play with us, the rates of leveling is very much increased in this one, and so that will give you an opportunity to get around level 70-ish. Which makes it so that you'll be able to do some of the content with us and not constantly die. So if you're interested in playing with us, I'll bring up that server on Thursday and and probably right after the patch is released, and then you can start playing and kind of check everything out. So
yes, and for the past couple of weeks we've been running so long at the end of the show that I've just kind of cut like half the games out of current players, but this week we're not doing too bad on time.
We're not too bad.
No, so I do have more games than weeks past for current players. Let's jump into it. H1Z1, this is Just Survive, and King of the Kill combined 27,452. The 24-hour peak for this, 116,186. And the 7-day peak, 133,269. Big numbers. They're not coming from Just Survive, unfortunately. Currently playing that, 2,905. The 24-hour peak for this, 5,488, with a 70 peak of 6,577. Currently playing H1Z1, King of the Kill, 24,540. Again, it's those U.S. players that are not playing. 24-hour peak, 110,689, and the 70 peak, 126,692. Ark Survival Evolved, currently playing at 30,781. The 24-hour peak, 48,430, and the 7-day peak, 62,015. Miscreated, Brian, game we haven't talked about in quite a while, currently playing at 552, the 24-hour peak, struggling to get above 1,911 for that, and the 7-day peak, 1,208. Not the hottest numbers on Miscreated, but it's been much worse. 7 days to die, on the other hand, looking pretty good with this. 7,371, currently playing that. 9,397 is your 24-hour peak, and 13,073 is the 7-day. Conan Exiles, I'm talking about this, lacking numbers. Currently playing at 2,098, 24-hour peak, 3,660, and a 7-day peak, 4,521. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, currently playing this, 70,678, the 24-hour peak, 121,663, and the 7-day peak, which is an all-time peak for this game, reached yesterday, 144,719. By the way, that was on a Monday, so put that in your pipe and smoke
it. Now that school's done, it'll be interesting to see what they peak out at.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's why that's so fascinating to me, that on a Monday that was, I mean, you don't see that. Why would an all-time peak be on a Monday? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know.
The peak on Sunday.
I think, just for math here.
The peak on Sunday, April 30th, was 132,233. Monday, 144,719. That's a big player jump from the weekend to a weekday. That does not fit any.
And they're maintaining bringing people back to the game, which is good. And it'll be interesting to see as they go into summer and people maybe say, all right, Saturday nights, I'm going to be playing this game, or, you know, certain days of the week, getting together and playing with our friends. Yeah. I think it's just going to get more and more consistent. I'm really interested to see what these numbers end up being in the long run. Like here, let's say towards the middle of summer, how many concurrent players are we going to have at peaks? It'll be pretty cool.
Yes, it will be very cool. And as we were talking about earlier, changing the Steam charts. So there you go.
Yes.
That's all I got, Brian.
Very good. All right. Let's go ahead and go into tip of the week. Tip of the week is where I go and discuss either, maybe a general gaming tip or maybe about a specific game. This week is going to be for Battlegrounds. So this is tip of the week. All right, in Battlegrounds, there is a way to report hackers. So right now, it's kind of a lengthy process for reporting a hacker, but what I'm going to be doing included in these notes. So if you go to our show notes on our website, we will have a link that is to the page that I'm going to be discussing that has a step-by-step guide through making a report of someone that you suspect is hacking. So if you're running into something, let's say you're running Shadowplay or something like that, that will let you save a copy, and we've gone over how to use shadow play, and there's a similar one for ATI. But what you can do is save a copy of the video, and in this report form, it will let you upload. Make sure you keep it short, compress it so it's not, you know, hundreds of megabytes. But you can include a copy of that video of the thing that you're reporting. If not, at least try to take a screenshot. So if you can get a screenshot maybe even just the death report or something with the player's name in it. That will let them to make sure that maybe you're not misspelling the name and then they can't find who it is. If you can get a screenshot, at least has a copy of the kill message or something like that to verify the name, that would help them a lot. But I'll have a link, and this is for forums. It's under the Battleground forums, and it has pictures that just step you through how you will have to create an account under this forum software they have for NMAS. And once you've created that, it lets you go through and create a ticket. You just go on there, put a description of what you ran into, the character name of who you were reporting, your character's name, the time of the incident. You can attach that file, which has either the picture or the video on there, and then you can finish it, submit. There's no kind of a response on this, but if you think that you're running into a hacker and you want to report them, there is a way to do that. So I will keep a copy of this in the show notes, and you can click that and it should have an updated link, whenever they make an update to this for how to do that. I'm assuming at some point they will have a report function that is in game, similar to what H1Z1 has, but for now, this is how they're doing it. So that is tip of the week.
All righty. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yes. And so hopefully we won't have to use that a ton. And I haven't run into a huge amount of problems where I'm like, I'm sure I have run into people that I'm like, man, I think they were hacking. But that's every once in a while. And so they've done pretty good. It's not blatant hackers running around and killing you every other fight from what I can tell. So
cool.
Very good. All right. So we want to do the giveaway now. Is there anything else we wanted to discuss before we finish?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So let's go ahead and roll for this. And I want to say congratulations to Kramit.
Hey, Kramit, there
we go. He is a regular, plays a lot of Battlegrounds with us. So he's a regular. I will send you a link to this for Dirt Rally. And one thing, if you are playing, maybe you're playing Battlegrounds, you're playing H1Z1 even, playing one of these games that you think would be fun to play with other people, I encourage you to join our Discord, because if you do, we get a lot of people. We have, I don't know how many we have right now, 63 people that are in our Discord right at this moment.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure that if you were like, hey, I want to play some Battlegrounds with somebody. If you went in there, join the channel, put a message in chat saying you want to play some Battlegrounds, you'd instantly get at least a team to play with. So it is a lot of fun. I encourage you to try it out. If you're looking for how to join that, infectionpodcast.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see where it says join under a list of that, and it will permanently connect your account so that when you open up Discord, our server is listed there. So it's very easy to do. They have a great mobile app. They even have a web-based version if you're eerie of putting on some sort of an application on your computer. You can run it out of a web browser.
Or if you're at work,
it's really easy to use,
and you can't install programs.
Or if you're at work and you don't want to install applications, yeah, they have a nice web browser-based version, so you can, even if you don't want to, if you can't talk, it's a great text application as well. So because there are people have conversations all day.
We use it all day. I at school all day. I'm in mostly computer science related classes, so my startup tabs are Twitter and then Discord and Slack. And I'm in Discord. We're having conversations all day. We were talking about, we're talking about Philip DeFranco or something earlier today in Discord and YouTube, ad revenue. Is always great conversations all throughout the day. So hop in there if you're a listener of the podcast, every once in a while, every couple of weeks.
If you're listening to this, you probably are.
Well, no, but I'm saying every couple of weeks, you we'll see somebody from a podcast, the RSS version, come into
they came in and say, hey, I've been listening to you since like episode one, and they're finally jumping in to say hi in Discord. So I encourage you to do that if you've been listening for a long time. And Nick and I were actually discussing this earlier today, that there's a lot of people out there's podcasts that Nick and I listen to that we feel like, hey, we know these podcasters really well, like we listen to them, we've listened to them for years possibly, and but we've never gone into and really made ourselves a part of that community. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we'll have plenty of listeners that's just how they are. But if you are looking for people to game with, a community to join, this is an excellent one to do that with. So we do encourage you to maybe take that extra step, join the Discord. There's not a lot of commitment. You just click and join, hang out, chat when you're available. play games every once in a while, and you're good to go.
Yes, and to be a total hypocrite, I do the exact same stuff. You know, with plenty of podcasts that I'm not active in, but if you're looking for something, you can do it here. Now, I wanted to note something else. I do want to say thank you. Of course, Brian, thank you, and thanks to all of our RSS audio listeners. We surpassed 50,000 downloads on our RSS audio feed this week. So that's quite a feat. Yeah, I'd say, Brian, I've done plenty of podcasts throughout the years. This is definitely the most successful. I don't know if that's the case with you, but 50,000 downloats is that's nothing to bat an eye at. That's it's getting some downloads there. So yeah, thanks to everybody.
Hopefully it's just the beginning. Yeah, and it seems like we've been good on as far as growth. So that's good.
Again, so thanks to everybody who downloads that and everybody that watches live on Twitch. If you are not watching live on Twitch and you're wondering when can I watch, how can I watch live, you can head on over to our Twitch channel live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. We're here. We're live. We're going to talk about some interesting things in the post-show if Brian's got some time. We'll talk about some interesting stuff in the pre-show as well. And of course, if you want to support the show, infectionpodcast.com/support, you can download, you can contribute through Amazon, which is not contributing. It just takes a little portion of what you buy off Amazon. We get a couple cents for that, or do a direct contribution through PayPal. Brian, where can people find you?
If you want to find me at Boise Computer, and that's BOISE on Twitter, or you can go to my blog, Bite of Tech, that's BITEOfTech.com. And of course, we're always available on our Discord channel. If you want to find me on Steam, you're more than welcome to join our Steam group, and then you'll find a list of hundreds, 350 plus people that are fans of the show or part of the show. And also, if you want to contact us, contact@infectionpodcast.com. That will send a link or a message right to Nick and I at the same time. I think we have a contact form on our website as well. So there's plenty of ways to contact us, and I would encourage you, even if you want to, maybe if you have some extra game codes, Humble Bundle codes, anything that you think you want to contribute to the show, those would be excellent for the giveaways, or any, you know, anything. Anything you can give the show is much appreciated by us. So thank you very much.
Yes, and I want to give, of course, a special shout-out to Green Man Cartoons for reaching out to Brian and myself and incorporating us into his most recent Architect tier video. Check that out. Search Green Man Cartoons on YouTube, or our website's got a link to that in the show notes. I think that's going to do it. Of course, Friday night, we will be playing some Ark. And, oh, real quick, Brian, the board game. That is going to be Saturday, May 13th, afternoon, evening-ish. You get in touch with one of us privately, or both of us privately, and express your interest in it, because we do want to plan, make sure everybody's available for a period of time. These games, you know, these aren't like, you can't drop out in the middle of the game.
It might take an hour to play the game.
But you can't drop out in the middle of it. So load up the game, Tabletop Simulator, do the tutorial, because it's very helpful, learning how to use all the commands, get all that stuff done so that we can hop into the game and have a good time with that. Brian, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, you can do that at Nicholas M. Craig. You can, of course, follow Infection Podcast on Twitter. We're at Infection Cast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join our Steam group and all of that other fun stuff. If you're interested in news and politics, check out Against the Norm at atnradioshow.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Infection. We'll see you next week.